Okay, so seems pretty clear that Christmas is one of the most joyful times of the year. Wouldn't you agree with that? Even people who are normally kind of just walking around with a sour expression on their face, even they will crack a smile at Christmas time. And those of you who know me know that I'm not a fan of shopping, but in the stores with the Christmas music playing, it's about as close to tolerable as shopping gets for me. Christmas music, I think, is some of the best music ever written. Not only the music, but the lyrics that go with the music. And it seems that just about everyone is in a happy mood at Christmas time. Just this past Wednesday, I was down at Target for about the maximum time that I could be there, 10 minutes. Not to say there's anything wrong with Target. Target's a nice store. I like Target, but it is a store, and you do shopping there. So I'm not real fond of it. But anyway, I was finished going out to my car. And remember Wednesday? It's an awful day, rainy, cold, the whole day. So I'm walking to my car, and there's a man in front of me, and he's got three brand new fishing rods. And I assume he just bought them at Target. And knowing that seriously cold weather is probably on the way, and seeing as it was an already bad day to begin with, and not even a day you'd want to go outside, and being the friendly person that I am, I said to the man, "My, you sure are ambitious." And he turned around, big smile on his face, and he said, "Next spring, there are going to be a lot of dead fish." And later on in the day, I'm thinking, he wouldn't have said that if it was some other time of year. It's just because it was Christmas. If it had been some other time of the year, he probably would have said to me something like, "Hey, buddy, why don't you mind your own business?" But it's Christmas time, and people are happy. So many things to be happy about in the Christmas season. Getting together with family and friends to celebrate the holidays. Neighborhoods decorated with lights and all kinds of pretty things for our eyes to see. Workplace tends to be upbeat and positive as the employees anticipate the holidays and some time off. Students and teachers are jubilant because they know that they're going to get several days out of class. Some people will be getting raises in the new year, so they're excited about that. Remember those? Remember raises? And maybe not. Anyway, and there's all those presents that will be coming our way if we're not naughty, but nice. Presents that, frankly, probably very few of us actually deserve, but they're going to be coming anyway. And I don't know anyone who has a birthday on December 25th. None of my friends, acquaintances, have a birthday on December 25th, and yet we're going to be getting all the presents. Go figure. And it's frankly one of my favorite times of the year because I get to have two foods that I can't find any other time of the year. Fruitcake and eggnog. I can hardly stand the anticipation. So there are many reasons to be happy at Christmas time, reasons to be joyful in the season, reasons to feel good about all that Christmas offers. And many things that bring happiness, even for unbelievers, are no less real for us. We enjoy them too. But the fundamental truth of Christmas, what gives Christmas its real meaning, the joy that it brings us as believers, is not in any way limited to this particular time of year. Not limited to any particular time in life. The truth of Christmas should create an inner joy that's permanent for believers, no matter what the season happens to be. Think of it like this. If you're alive, then you obviously had a birthday at some point in the past. And being alive is something to be joyful about each day that we have life. I hope you are in a regular pattern of thanking God for each day that you have life. It's a very special gift, and it's a privilege to have life. But there is that one day each year when we set aside the day to celebrate when we first entered the world. If you're married, you have a wedding anniversary. But having a life partner is something to be joyful about all the time, every day. But there is that one day that we celebrate the fact that we're married. Assuming that you can remember the date, of course, you can celebrate it together. Does this mean that we are equally happy every day of our lives? No. In fact, I would probably avoid someone that was happy every single day of their life. That would be just weird. That would be strange. Does it mean that every day of married life is a day of indescribable bliss? Looking for a really good Christmas present, huh? Don't you love distractions? How is it on? Is it on? Is it on? Okay. All right, now I got both hands. Cool, where was I? Oh, yeah. Indescribable bliss. I'm going to say probably not in most cases. Rich would be an exception. But for most people, marriage isn't indescribable bliss every single day. We do recognize it's a joy to be married, and we have that day when we celebrate it. But a world, or I should say there's a world of difference between kind of perpetual euphoria and a deeply abiding joy that comes by knowing life-transforming truth. So what is the life-transforming truth that should cause joy to permanently abide in us as believers? Not just this time of year, not just Christmas time, but all the time, all year long. And for that answer, I want to look at John chapter 10, a few verses from John chapter 10, and look at some reasons for why joy should be abiding and permanent in every true believer. John chapter 10, verse 7. Therefore, Jesus said again, I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All who ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. Now, being called the sheep is not usually a compliment. Sheep are not among the most bright animals in the animal kingdom. Sheep tend to be slow. They're pretty helpless. They tend to be easily distracted, so they get lost a lot. They're prone to injury. They're prone to sickness. They're prone to danger from almost any predator that wants to do them harm. Sheep have very little defense, and so any predator that wants to harm them, they are prone to injury or even death. They're utterly dependent on their shepherd to protect them from their enemies, to lead them into pastures where there's food, and to provide safe drinking water. Sheep need someone to take care of them all the time. They're helpless, they're defenseless, and they're often clueless. So you see that in the spiritual realm, we have a lot in common with sheep. Which brings us to the first reason for our joy, verse 7. Jesus says, I am the gate for the sheep. Now, this is largely lost in our culture, but in Israel, it would have been very readily understood because shepherding was a common occupation in Israel. At the end of a long day of grazing, the shepherd would lead his sheep back to the sheepfold or the sheep pen, and there they would spend the night. As the sheep would enter the sheep pen, the shepherd would do a couple of things. First thing he would do is he would check to make sure that the sheep coming in the pen were actually his sheep. He didn't want other people's sheep in his sheep pen. So he would check to confirm that they were his sheep. And the second thing that he would do is he would check to see if there were any injuries. And if the sheep had injuries, he would anoint them with oil. Sound familiar? Psalm 23?
Now, eventually, all the sheep would be inside the pen for the night, and then the shepherd would lie down in front of the entrance. So you have the entrance to the sheep pen, and the shepherd would literally lie down in front of the entrance. Now, I would lie down here and show you, but I'm afraid I wouldn't be able to get back up again. So I'm not going to do that. But as the shepherd would lie down in front of the entrance to the sheep pen, it would first of all keep the sheep from going outside the pen where there was danger, especially at night. And it would also keep dangerous threats to the sheep on the outside of the pen. Because you see, any kind of sinister animal, any kind of harm that wanted to be brought against the sheep from the outside would have to go through the shepherd, because the shepherd's sleeping there, and nothing could get past him without him knowing it. Nor could the sheep leave the safety of the pen, because he would be blocking the exit as well. So Jesus says, "I am the gate for the sheep." He means that he's the way by which his true sheep must enter the sheep pen. That's the only way they're going to get in, is through him. Which should remind us of John 14:6, where Jesus describes himself as the way. He is the way. That no one can come to the Father except through him. Jesus is the entrance, if you will, to life. He's the entrance to life. The spiritual truth is that there's no possible way for anyone who would become one of Jesus' sheep to enter into that relationship in any other way but through Jesus himself. There's only one entrance into a true relationship with Christ, and that is through the gate that is Jesus himself. So, if you've entered into Jesus' spiritual sheep pen, resulting in forgiveness of your sins and salvation, then that alone is cause for great joy. Not just now, not just at Christmas time, but always. If you've not entered in, then you'll want to listen further as we continue. Notice also that true believers not only enter the sheep pen through the shepherd, who is Jesus, but look at verse 9. He says, the sheep will come in and go out and find pasture. He says in verse 10, I have come that the sheep might have life and have it to the full. Not only do those who enter into the sheep pen find themselves guarded from within, but the shepherd provides the means by which they find pasture without. A reference is not just to life, but a reference to abundant life, or as it says, life to the full. Not only do we have abundant life in the by and by, which is fantastic, but we also have abundant life in the here and now. And that's what he's saying. Jesus doesn't just provide us spiritual life and forgiveness of sins that allows us to escape the judgment of God and not have to face an eternity apart from God, but he gives us abundant life right now. A blessed life that he gives. It doesn't just start at death. It starts the moment we enter into the sheepfold. And it lasts forever. Another reason for the true believer to be joyful, not just at Christmas time, but all year. But it keeps getting better. Look at verse 11. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. The man runs away because he's a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. Now, there were two kinds of shepherds. One shepherd was the shepherd who owned the sheep that he shepherded. These were sheep that he cared about very deeply because they were his. They belonged to him. The other kind of shepherd was hired, a hireling. a hired shepherd, paid for watching the sheep, but the sheep were not actually his. They belonged to someone else. So when a wolf appeared, wanting a meal of warm mutton, then the hired shepherd would take the rest of the day off. You see, the hired shepherd has no interest whatsoever in risking his life for somebody else's dumb sheep. He has no desire to do that. He has no intention of doing that. The hired shepherd, you see, is not a sheep keeper. He's just a sheep peeper. He just watches the sheep. He cares for the sheep, but he doesn't really care about the sheep. You see the difference? The hired hand cares about the sheep to the degree that they are means to a paycheck. And that's where his commitment to them ends. He gains nothing by risking his life to save sheep that aren't his. But, verse 14, Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep." Now, let's get something straight here, because sometimes we can get a little idealistic when we read about shepherds and laying down their lives for the sheep. But there's something we need to get straight here. A shepherd did not typically lay down his life for sheep, okay? Even his own sheep. They did not typically give up their life for their sheep. Why? Well, they gained nothing by laying down their life for the sheep. First of all, they were more valuable than any of the sheep. Their life was of infinitely greater worth than the sheep they were taking care of or even owned. And the sheep would have been helpless without their shepherd. Once the shepherd died, then the sheep would be in immediate moral peril. They had to have their shepherd to survive. But Jesus says that he lays down his life for the sheep. And Jesus did lay down his life for the sheep. In fact, that's the very reason he came into the world at all. He was born with the intent of laying down his life for the sheep. This is what makes Jesus not just a shepherd. It makes him a good shepherd. A good shepherd knows his sheep know him, and he lays down his life for them. So Christmas is a time most worthy of celebrating. It's a good thing to praise God and thank God and worship God and be joyful at Christmas for what has been done for us. But there's a reason for believers to be joyful throughout the year. And I'm not suggesting that we have a party every day. I'm suggesting that we don't forget the truth that makes such a difference in our present lives and in our future lives. You see, we needed an entrance to the spiritual life. Jesus is our gate. He's the way. He's the truth. He's the life. He's the only door there is. He's the only gate there is for forgiveness and salvation. He gave his life on the cross so that we could have life now and forever. He died in our place. The prophet Isaiah puts it like this: "We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." We needed a protector and a nurturer. Jesus is our shepherd. He's not a hired hand. He's not like the hired hand who would run off when there was danger. You see, the good shepherd really cares about his sheep. He's really concerned about his sheep. He really loves his sheep. And we needed forgiveness and life. We needed a good shepherd, and Jesus is our Savior. We didn't just need cleaning up. Now, sheep need cleaning up a lot. They get pretty nasty, pretty dirty. But we didn't just need cleaning up. We needed life. We needed spiritual birth. We needed a Savior. Luke says it about as clearly and as succinctly as it can be said in Luke chapter 2, verse 10. But the angel said to them, to the shepherds, right? Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you, and he is Christ the Lord. Christmas time provides a great opportunity for us to share the real meaning of Christmas, what it really means, with those who don't know Jesus, either as the gate to life, as the shepherd, or as the good shepherd, that is, Savior. It's a great opportunity to explain to them what Christmas really is and what it really means from those of us who know and who have experienced it ourselves. We should not only find Christmas a joyful time, and we should find it a joyful time like nearly everyone else does, but as believers, as Christians, as disciples, our joy should be deep, it should be abiding, and it should be present, not just at Christmas time, but all seasons and forever. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you that Jesus is the gate to life. Just as the shepherd in the Old Testament, who was the only means by which the sheep could enter into the sheepfold. And your word tells us clearly that the only way to enter into eternal life is through the gate that is Jesus Christ. And we know that we need nurture. We need to be cared for. We are in many, many ways like sheep. Weak. We get distracted. We get lost. We are vulnerable to all kinds of attack. And so we praise you that we have a shepherd who watches over us, who cares about us, who's not like a hired shepherd, but we belong to him. And he cares deeply about us. And we needed a good shepherd, one who would lay down his life for the sheep. We needed a Savior. And as we come to yet another Christmas, may we be reminded, maybe in a new and fresh way, of how joyful we should be because of what we received. Not just now, not just in this season when everybody is happy, but as believers, to have this deeply abiding joy within, because we know what our need was, and we know that in Jesus Christ, you have met that need, not just for now, but for forever. So we praise you at this time of year. We praise you every day. And we give you thanks for what you've done for us. In Christ our Lord. Amen.